How do you stop being a degenerate in 2025 when distractions are everywhere? That's probably the toughest question our society and our younger generations are going to face in the next few decades. If you want to actually change and not just talk about it, I'll show you the steps that worked for me. So hopefully you can do the same after watching this video. So in 2020, I was an absolute degenerate, like an absolute degenerate. It was lockdown, the summer lockdown and the winter lockdown. And I would basically do as little schoolwork as possible. And I would just sit on Fortnite with my brother, my god brother, and basically play that most of the day, most of the evening. And then after doing that, I would be even more of a degenerate by scrolling on my phone until like 6 a.m. every single night. And yeah, I was watching YouTube videos, but I was also on Instagram Reels, just scrolling away mindlessly, watching some brain rot videos until 6 a.m. I'll get a picture of it from my Snapchat memories because it's insane. Like, I would be downstairs in the kitchen getting a fucking midnight snack. Well, not a midnight snack, a 6 a.m. snack, a breakfast. I was having breakfast before I'd gone to sleep, and I'd be taking pictures of the sunrise because I'd stay up that long. It was insane. My diet was terrible. I was eating so many carbs and processed meat, stuff like that. I wasn't working out. My sleep pattern was absolutely messed up. I had no direction in my life. And, you know, I was 15 and wondering why I felt like shit and didn't know what to do in my life and felt completely anxious. And I'm sure many of you are in that situation right now or were in that situation in the lockdown of 2020. The worst lockdown for me was winter 2020, not the first lockdown. Winter 2020 was even worse. You literally couldn't go outside because it was getting dark at like 4 p.m. And that was probably when my mental health was at lowest and I was at my most anxious. I was probably clocking in a screen time of like 15, 16 hours, which, you know, some people probably get more screen time than that now, which is insane. But my screen time now is like 2 hours max and it's just to send emails or go on Spotify or whatever and play a podcast. But back then I was just scrolling, just sat in the studio in the back of my garden, listening to music until like 3 a.m. with my hood up, getting no sunlight, waking up at 2 p.m. every single day, barely going outside and touching grass, not speaking to anyone. It was horrible. And a lot of you are probably in that situation now, even though it's not lockdown. Like, think about that. You're not in lockdown and you're still in that situation. It's absolutely insane. But I don't blame you because society has been designed for our generation to make us do things like that so easily. So if you're stuck in this cycle of just degeneracy, bad sleep, bad diet, everything, playing too many video games, watching loads of porn, I'm with you. I have been in that exact position as you. Amongst all of these bad habits, there was one habit that completely changed my life. And it happened at the end of lockdown in 2020. I went to get my passport photo taken. So I had to wake up at like, oh my God, 11 or 12 p.m. and get there for 1 p.m. So I actually saw sunlight that day, which was probably the first time in like 2 months, right? And walk into the camera shop to get the passport photo taken. And I literally just see shelves for cameras. And something just like clicked in my mind. And I knew there and then that I wanted to get a camera. And I think it came from when I was younger, begging my dad to buy me a camera. And he thought I wouldn't use it. So he just said no. And I didn't end up getting one. And this like kind of desire reignited itself. So I ended up researching cameras for a month while still being a degenerate, still scrolling, playing Fortnite and stuff. But I started looking at like different cameras and what cameras to get, et cetera, et cetera. And then I ended up buying one from the same shop, started going out with it more. And I started really enjoying it. And I wasn't sure what kind of genre or style I wanted to do. So I started doing a lot of street photography, but then there's also like fields and orchards near my house. So I started going back out in nature. And this is super important. I started going out in nature with my camera. And I'd always been a massive nature nerd from like age 2 till 11. I was absolutely obsessed with birds. I still love it to this day, right? And I kind of combined this old habit and love and passion and hobby with a new one and decided I wanted to become a nature photographer. Why did this help me stop becoming a degenerate, you may be asking? Well, to get the good light, you have to wake up early. So I started waking up around sunrise, going to the local orchard, trying to find some birds to photograph. And obviously spending more time outside, getting sunlight, being surrounded in nature, you know, that increases your serotonin, which makes you feel more grateful and fulfilled and just better. It's a nice kind of brain hormone, brain neurotransmitter. It makes you feel good. And so I started doing that. And don't get me wrong, I was still like being a degenerate when I got back. I was still like eating shit, not going to the gym, also scrolling on my phone. But this one habit slowly started to take more and more of my time. And the important thing I did there as well when I first got my camera was start a social media platform. And what that allowed me to do was connect with other people with a similar passion as me, which was nature photography. And I started posting my photos and getting some good comments and feedback, which gave me a bit of dopamine, but not like degenerate dopamine, because I was actually putting effort into creating these photos and spending time doing that. And I slowly began to focus more on growing a social media channel. And this was still like, you know, when I was 15, 16, 17, I actually ended up blocking everyone from my school because I was so afraid of them finding out that I started a nature photography account, because it just obviously wasn't cool. And I didn't want to get like criticized and stuff. I didn't want anyone to know. I just wanted to focus on it and not worry about the judgment of others, even though they probably wouldn't have given a shit and never found it anyway. But nevertheless, started focusing more on that, started playing less video games, kind of watching other photography YouTubers and kind of social media influencers that were into nature photography. Some of these people that have like millions of followers. I was like, wow, like it gave me an alternative path of, oh, maybe I don't have to do a 9-to-5 kind of corporate drone rat race job. I could actually, you know, create videos online and maybe make some money from that. So over the next few years, I was getting more and more invested in photography and posting on social media. It was something that was deeply rewarding and distracted me from all these bad, degenerate habits that I'd been doing before in the past. And I just felt so much more fulfilled. I didn't feel regret or guilt after spending 5 hours outside. You know, like if you've watched porn or like you've masturbated or you've gone to a party or got drunk and then you wake up the next day or you do the action and the habit and then straight afterwards you feel absolutely terrible about yourself. You feel guilty and you feel regretful. I didn't get that with photography. I just completely was obsessed with it and it really sparked my love for nature again. So it was like a win-win situation. I wasn't making any money from it. I wasn't getting many followers. I think I ended up getting about 2,000 followers in like the first year or two, which was like pretty cool. And I met new people online. Yeah, I just found this like alternative community to like 15-year-old degenerate life, you know? So that's when I started separating myself from what most people do. And I'm so fucking glad I found photography. But for you, it doesn't have to be photography. It can be anything, like anything that you love that isn't just quick dopamine, something that's genuinely fulfilling to you. It could be like making pottery, baking, playing pickle or something. It doesn't have to be specifically photography. It could be anything that you love that feels like play to you, but looks like work to others. We'll get to more of that later. And yeah, choosing something that you actually enjoy and a passion that you like can be difficult. A lot of the time you just feel it in your gut or feel it in your heart or whatever. You know, there's something that you really like that you've liked as a kid or liked something recently that no one else really cares about in your school or amongst your friendship groups, but you do and you want to keep doing that and you could do it for hours. But for a lot of you, there's probably not much that you can think of off the top of your head. And I can actually help you try and find your passions or things that you potentially might really enjoy and find fulfilling. In my Tribe of Outliers, my private paid community. More about that later. But yeah, first link in the description if you want to find out what you love and you can do to stop being a degenerate, because it's just, that's step one. Step one is just finding something that you're actually passionate about, and that can be extremely difficult. So I'm with you. If you want me to help you and want the community that I've created to help you find what you love, link in the description. Anyway, enough of that plug. So I've been doing photography for a couple of years, 2 to 3 years by this point. I'd kind of spent less time being as much of a degenerate. I'd sorted my sleep pattern out to quite a degree. Obviously, there were still blips here and there. I was still in secondary school, going into sixth form towards the end of the school system. I was almost out. I was at like the final sprint of the education system that I never really got along with. I'm sure you didn't. And by the time I got into sixth form, I'd moved from an all-boys school to an all-girls school, which was one end of the spectrum to the other. It was a complete change. I mean, the sixth form and the all-girls school was mixed. I obviously didn't pretend to be a girl and go to an all-girls school sixth form, but I'd left that school because I just didn't feel like I fit in at that point of time and I wanted a new change. And I went into a completely different social dynamic. Like, looking back, I was literally like a social psychology guinea pig, going from this boisterous all-boys school to like an all-girls school that was the complete opposite in every way you can imagine, right? But I was still like socially anxious from lockdown. I still hadn't like recovered from that. I still wasn't like confident in myself as much as I wanted to be. And I ended up getting a girlfriend and was almost with her for like a year, and it just wasn't working out. I had my A-level mocks, which is, for people not in the UK, like a big exam that gets you into university. And I remember, like, it was December. I'd started drinking coffee for the first time. So I had a bit of caffeine, which gives you a bit of dopamine, alertness, and focus. And I just started like revising. And I hadn't really been that studious before. Like, I could get away with kind of not revising a lot and getting like B's and A's, maybe an A star sometimes. I was kind of lucky in that regard. But this time I kind of like really honed in, because I hadn't been from like year 12 to the halfway through the end of final year of school, because I'd just been distracted on obsessing over my first girlfriend. And basically just like locked in, like completely locked in. I was still doing photography and stuff on the side, but I just fully focused on that. And went past Christmas, got past January, we ended up breaking up. And then like the first few months after the breakup, it was quite like raw and like, I mean, I just got on with it, slowly getting better. And like, I kind of still wanted a girlfriend. And then I ended up like trying to get with a girl and then basically being rejected. And then that like really took a blow on my confidence. And I knew something needed to change by then, because by then I was still like going to the gym. I was still, I'd been working hard more at school. My sleep pattern was better. I started drinking a bit of coffee, but socially, I still wasn't there. I still wasn't confident with girls. I still wasn't confident with how I looked. I was like so skinny. I'm like 6'1" or 6'2". I think I'm like 6'2" now. And back then I was like 60 kilograms. And genetically, I'm just really, really skinny. But this was like pure bones, just like absolute skinny, skinny guy, like long hair, like wearing bracelets and stuff. And I just knew I had to change that, because that tactic clearly wasn't working, and I clearly wasn't like going for the right girls or attracting the right girls. And then I decided to finally go to the gym. And I'd gone to the gym a bit in like a few years before lockdown, actually, before all of this, when I was like 14, but I had no idea what I was doing. I went like 2 or 3 times a week, hadn't really hit puberty, so my muscles just weren't growing at all. Ended up stopping after a month or two. And then I started going to the gym with a few buddies. I remember me and two of my mates, they took me to the gym because my friends from my old school that I was still like brothers with, they started going to the gym before me for like at least a year or two. And I decided to go with them one time. And I remember doing, I think it was like incline bench press, and it was like maybe 5 or 10 kilograms. I'd like had weights in my room during lockdown that I didn't really use. And my chest is naturally my weakest muscle that I'm still trying to work on to this day. And I just remember like doing it and my face just going so red. Like, you know, when you've never done an exercise before and just like all the blood's just like rushing, you're pumping, just like you're trying so hard to push this weight off of your chest. And if you've never done it before, your body's just not used to that intensity and that pressure, right? So I remember just going like so red, and then like trying to do like tricep cable down, and it just like, it wasn't great, but it was better than nothing. And I ended up, I think in April, so like a month or two after that, joining the gym. And this was like a few months before exams, and I started going basically like 3 days and then resting, and then 3 days and doing two rests. So like push pull legs, the classic. Went to the gym that all my buddies went to, so they'd gone before that, so they knew the ropes, so they showed me the ropes and stuff. And I started seeing change. You get the newbie gains, and my body wasn't obviously used to it, so I started getting a bit more muscle. I was like still skinny, and I'm still quite a slender guy, like I'm like got lean muscle, but I could see the progress, and it fixed so much for me. Going to the gym fixed so much for me, because I was already doing photography, so I already had my passion that I really liked, that like hobby that was like keeping me away from degeneracy, keeping me away from like going out and partying and sleeping like pretty crap until 3 a.m. My sleep still wasn't great, right? I was still going to sleep like quite late, but the gym was so good because it gave me discipline. It gave me a stack of undeniable proof that I could be consistent at something, because with the photography, I wasn't going out every single day or every single week. I often went out when I was feeling most anxious after school and after the breakup, but it was just so good. So good. Your sleep also just improved so much. Like you end up sleeping earlier. Well, I did anyway, because I was just knackered. So I'd get back home, and then in the evening, I'd be way more tired. Again, way more disciplined, delayed gratification. It just like elevated me an entire new level. You could deal with pain. You could deal with like increase your willpower, because some days obviously you don't want to go and work out. So doing that just completely replaced my like low body confidence, my like kind of bad sleep and like other things that were distracting me. Like obviously if you're at the gym for 2 hours, you can't fucking scroll on your phone, can you? So that just completely eliminated so many things, and it gave me a nice little routine. You know, I go after school with my buddies, socialize, meet new people as well. Like it just gave me so much more confidence and helped me become less of a degenerate. So like if you haven't started going to the gym, that's like number one, 100% the number one thing you can do, especially if you're like a young guy who's struggling with like body confidence and like social dynamics and like social anxiety and trying to find like a stable, like good partner or girlfriend. Definitely go to the gym. It just gives you such a boost. And that might end up being your passion. You know, I said about my photography, the gym might be what photography was like for me. Like for you, the gym might be that, where you're just completely obsessed with it. And then we'll talk about this later in the video. But then once you become obsessed with something, you can kind of, you learn the fundamentals, you can start teaching other people and end up making money from that and making that a career. But more on that later, and more of that in my private paid community, Tribe of Outliers, where we go through loads of different courses on how you can find your passion and make a living from it. But yeah, more on that later. Yeah, so in 2 years, I went from about 60 kilograms to almost 75. And that wasn't from doing a dirty bulk. Like my metabolism is so quick. Like I said, I was super skin and bones, high metabolism, long distance kind of running type body. But I still managed to gain like 10 to 15 kilograms in the last 2 years, which has made me feel so much more confident in myself and just less kind of a beta, really. Like, I don't know what other way to put it. Like, just more confident in myself. Obviously you get higher testosterone, and as a young man, like a lot of young guys including myself, have struggled probably with low testosterone from just our bad degenerate habits, like our shit diet, having a phone in your pocket all the time, or scrolling, like bad sleep pattern, etc. Like that's going to decrease your testosterone, but going to the gym just increases your testosterone, increases your endorphins and dopamine and serotonin after the workout. You feel great. You feel more energized for the rest of the day. So good. It's just like the first thing you should do if you're like 15, 16, 17, 18 or beyond. Even if you're like a bit younger than that, like even doing some like press ups and like sit ups and stuff every day, that's going to like make you feel so good and kind of reduce your like scroll. If you do it in the morning, for example, like it gives you a reason to get out of bed. You know, because I remember I have this analogy in my head that I don't really share, but it's like, do you want to be the boy in the bed? Because that's what I was in lockdown. I was the boy in the bed. I was this fucking degenerate boy who just fucking sit in his bed, come home from after school and just like doom scroll for hours and then have dinner and then doom scroll again, then go to sleep, then wake up and then go to school and hate it and then do that over and over again. That was the boy in the bed. And going to the gym makes you get out of bed. You can't work out in your bed unless you have a fucking massive bed or something. So it completely breaks that habit. And if you go early in the morning as well, that gives you a reason to wake up early in the morning, et cetera, et cetera. So number one, just start going to the gym and that will reduce your bad habits, like staying in bed all day and bad sleep habit and like struggling with consistency in other areas of your life. The gym can help you solve that. Even without aggressive bulking, studies have shown that going to the gym increases your self-esteem and your energy level. So if that's what you're struggling with as a young guy, which I assume like 90%, 99% of guys are doing, even if they can't admit it to themselves, like we're all low confidence at like 15, 16, 17, before and beyond. Going to the gym just gives you that next level, like that boost of confidence and energy, which means it gives you confidence to do other stuff as well. Like if I hadn't gone to the gym, I probably wouldn't even be making this video because I wouldn't have that positive reinforcement from repetitions. I wouldn't have that confidence that I can do things and stick with it. I wouldn't have that delayed gratification that obviously it might suck in the moment, but in a month's time, you're going to see the results. Just as a quick example, you know, like it's just the thing to do. But once you've gone to the gym and you've been going for like 6 months, 12 months, a year, 2 years, you know, it doesn't stop there because I know so many guys that go to the gym that are still degenerates. And I'm sure if you're an avid gym bunny right now, you probably know people that are like that too, or you're that yourself, where they'll be super disciplined at like the gym and just focus on that one thing. But then every other aspect of their life is still like pretty degenerate. They still get shit-faced every weekend. They still doom scroll on their phone. They still eat like shit and use the gym as an excuse to do that. But that's still pretty low tier. I mean, it's better than not going to the gym, but there certainly doesn't excuse you and doesn't stop you from being a degenerate just because you go to the gym, right? So this is like the more advanced levels that true outliers end up doing. They don't stop at just the gym. And let me explain the next kind of level for you. So the next level that I experienced is the thing I've kind of called like habit stacking. So I started doing photography. That's one good habit. The gym, that's two good habits. And then the next habits are creating this stack. And the more you do, the more you realize you can do. So it starts compounding. And the next habit I started to do, which seems really obvious, but most people my age and probably your age don't do this nowadays, is reading. So I started going to the gym and then started listening to these kind of more self-improvement podcasts and watching these self-improvement videos, because when you start going to the gym, your mind kind of shifts from just like, I have no idea what I'm doing in my life. I don't know what will make me more successful. It kind of makes you realize, oh, okay, this is something that's actually giving me tangible reward. This is kind of self-growth, self-improvement. What else can I do to improve myself? And it compounds from there, right? So I started listening to like stuff like Modern Wisdom, Andrew Huberman, School of Life, Psych2Go, like YouTube channels and different influences and podcasts that were kind of in this sphere of self-improvement. And not just like self-improvement in just like working out and getting big, but like psychology, how to find a good partner, how to improve your morning routine, how to improve your sleep, just stuff like that. Whilst also posting more on my photography social medias. So I end up doing that and then realizing, a lot of these people that I look up to now, these like podcasters and stuff, they emphasize how important it is to read. And I'd never really got along with reading. I read a bit as a kid, but it was mostly like nature books and a bit of fiction, like Diary of a Wimpy Kid and stuff in like year five. And I hadn't really found my niche, my like topic, my genre of books that I really like, because some people just love like dark romance or true crime and stuff. But I never really got along with fiction that well. And then I started listening to these Modern Wisdom podcasts where the author would come on and like talk about their book, or like Chris, the host of Modern Wisdom, would talk about these books. And I started like thinking, huh, maybe I should read those, because if it's benefited these guys and they're super successful, then maybe if I do the same, I might get similar results. And this was like the start of university, like after like Freshers Week and stuff, I started realizing, okay, like was a bit of a degenerate in Freshers Week for my standards at the time, because I never really went up too much and got too shit faced, but I did quite a lot in Freshers Week because it was Freshers Week. And I then realized, okay, this is not the life I want. I want a girlfriend and I want to keep improving myself. And this kind of like nightlife side of things isn't for me. It's just distracting. It's short-term dopamine. It's full of hangover and regret. I don't want to do this. And if you do go out, like, fair enough, like, but it is pretty degenerate poisoning yourself 3 or 4 times a week repeatedly and doing shit you regret, in my opinion. And if you've got this far into the video, it's probably your opinion too, or will be your opinion soon, especially if you find more like-minded people, like my tribe of outliers. Like, it's just going to be full of kind of people that are interested in self-improvement, self-growth, and curious minds that listen to this show and listen to the guests, listen to these kind of solo videos as well, and are really curious about the world and want to understand themselves and the world better. But if you're not like that, then just get off this video and keep going to Wetherspoons and nightclubs until 4 a.m. and getting with not great people and not feeling great about yourself. But if you want to stop being a degenerate and kind of elevate yourself, then keep watching this. But yeah, a lucky moment for me in terms of reading was my buddy let me borrow his book that he kept going on about to me, called The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, which a lot of people have read, and a lot of kind of these self-improvement influencers or like intellectuals or people that have online businesses, they've read, because it came out at least 15 years ago now. But it's so, so good for kind of taking your time back, realizing, oh shit, the 9-to-5 rat race, there's actually an alternative to this where I can make money online or from a small business by working like 10 hours, 4 hours a week, whatever. Like, it gave me at least an alternative path. And it was the path that I kind of wanted to go on anyway, but I didn't know existed. It was the same with the gym. It was the same with photography. I always knew in my mind that there was this alternative route that normal society had been showing me and the education system hadn't been showing me. And I see glimpses of it on social media and on YouTube, but not really. But then the more I discovered these kind of good habits, like reading, like going to the gym, like working on my passion, and as a result, avoiding the bad habits like doom scrolling, going out, and just staying up late, eating like shit, it made the road to the life that I want to live and the lifestyle that I want to have clearer. And you can't see that right now if you're still in your degenerate era, because you haven't found the first thing. But if you take one thing from this video, it should be this. If you replace one bad habit with one good habit, it will increase your chances of not being a degenerate by like 5, 10, 20 times. Because once you do a good habit and you get reinforced for that, you do it for long enough, you get the positive reinforcement. Like, oh, instead of sitting on my ass all day, I'm going to go to the gym. If you stick with that and it becomes a habit, you realize there's another side to life and there's these good habits that you can do that 10x your life satisfaction. And the more you delve into that side of things, the more of them habits you see and the more of them habits you adopt. And then it's this compound growth where it's like this. Instead of it being linear, which most people think life is like, you start small and it slowly builds up and then it just rampantly, dramatically increases. And you could, that increase could be your life satisfaction. It could be your health. It could be your wealth. It could be your enjoyment. It could be your relationships. It could be literally anything. But if you just pick one thing and one good habit to replace a bad one, you'll realize how much other habits can be replaced by these good ones that I'm going through in this video. Studies have shown that replacing reading with screen time dramatically decreases your anxiety and dissatisfaction. So definitely start reading nonfiction. Some good books I recommend would be The 4-Hour Work Week. Read some autobiographies and biographies of great people. Charlie Munger says become friends with the eminent or like successful dead. And by learning the lives of others, these big names, you know, these leaders, Julius Caesar, Napoleon, or Arnold Schwarzenegger, or Steve Jobs, reading about these people's lives show you the life of the outlier. It shows you the alternative life to the 9-to-5 Netflix purgatory life, you know? So just keep reading, find some good books, more book recommendations. Let me look at my reading list. Essentialism by Greg McKeown's good. Churchill's biography by Paul Johnson's good. Even like Elon Musk's biographies are really good. I've got some other books at home, but I'm reading 0-to-1 by Peter Thiel right now, which is really good for entrepreneurship. These are a bit more advanced books. So just start with The 4-Hour Work Week and build your way up from there, and maybe start with Essentialism as well by Greg McKeown, because these books help you focus on the good habits and they help you focus on what really matters and makes you effective at doing that. So I highly, highly recommend doing that. Also, in my Tribe of Outliers, my new paid private community where you can meet like-minded people, you can also access my reading list, my complete reading list, and also I'll be doing book reviews on there where I kind of do a similar video to this, but talking about a book I've read. We'll do live chats with everyone and maybe even study a specific book for a month. And at the end of the month, we'll go on a call together and discuss it, things we've learned, lessons we can take, what to avoid from that book. So yeah, if you want to meet a group of like-minded people that aren't actually fucking degenerates, then link in bio for that. It's a completely new community, so there will only be a small amount of people right now because I literally have just set it up, but I've been planning and researching and creating this for the last few months. So yeah, be one of the first members to join and it will truly change your life. So I've been going to the gym. You've been following a hobby or passion that you love, despite the perceived thoughts of others, even if it's in your secondary school and stuff. So you've been doing those two things. You started reading every night for at least 20 minutes, even if it's just 2 pages, actually. It's better than nothing, right? You've been reading every day. And this is when you maybe stop focusing on social media consuming, but start focusing on creating. So say you've been doing your hobby for 6 months, or you've been doing it your whole life. Like I've been doing photography at this point up until for the last 3 or 4 years. You start fully creating content, educational content, but also just showing your work more on social media and being consistent with it. I was doing this after 4-Hour Work Week for a couple months. I had ankle surgery, so I was sat at home, wasn't at university, and was just like posting these reels, which I fell into a trap into, actually. It was a dopamine circuit, and they were just kind of like influencery reels. They weren't educational. They weren't improving people's lives. They weren't helping anyone understand the world better, but it was good advertisement for my work. But yeah, I wasn't getting much from it, just a lot of views. So I ended up gaining like 10,000 followers on Instagram from it, but then kind of burnt out and became less motivated with it because it didn't feel that fulfilling in the long term, even though I thought it would do. Carried on reading though, and this is where we get to the next stage of anti-degeneracy, regenerating yourself. And it's creating a small stack of non-negotiables, daily non-negotiables. So what does that actually mean? It can be 2, 3, 4, for me, 3 is the magic number for this, of habits and things that you have to do every single day. So what would you think it would be? For me right now, it's workout, do the podcast, do this, the podcast, and read. And I have to do those things every single day, even if it's 1 page of a book. Even if it's sending 1 email to a guest, even if it's planning 1 video, even if it's doing a 10-minute workout. I mean, it never is that amount of time, but still counts, okay? So setting your non-negotiables for the day ensures that you maintain these good habits and therefore helps you avoid the bad habits from creeping back in. Because you might have got to this stage where you've been doing these good habits for ages, but then there's still this one habit that's creeping back in to your life. I've been there. You know, there's always these constant previous addictions to your phone, to social media, to porn, to sleeping like shit and not going out, to feeling anxious in social situations. They always creep back in if you don't have these non-negotiable habits that will avoid and stop and replace those bad habits. Because you could have got to the point where, oh, I'm going to the gym 5 days a week, I'm reading and I'm working on my new hobby and stuff. And then you're like, you got so comfortable doing those things and you don't feel hard anymore. And maybe you haven't got as many results as you did at the start. Then newbie gains have stopped and you've kind of plateaued in your work. And then you end up stopping without even meaning to. And missing a habit for one day is a mistake. And missing a habit 2 days in a row is the formation of a new habit. Trust me. So how do we counteract that? What we have to do is do our non-negotiables every single day without fail. Like, I was on holiday in Greece a few weeks ago. I brought the podcast equipment with me. I brought books with me. I even brought this exercise band with me. And obviously, it's not the same as bench pressing or doing pull-ups and stuff, but all I did was do these like kind of cable exercises with this resistant band, you know, like the push-ups and the bicep curls and stuff with this resistant band. Way less weight. I obviously wasn't gaining much muscle from doing that, but I was also doing press-ups as well. And that meant when I got back home and was back in my usual routine, going to the gym was like that. And if I didn't do and maintain that non-negotiable habit, how much more likely do you think I would have fallen back into the, oh, I just won't go to the gym this week, you know, I've just been on holiday and stuff. Like, the chances of me not going to the gym after that would have been incredibly high. So even if you're traveling or you're on holiday, you've got to keep these non-negotiables with you. And even if it's for 10 minutes a day, like a 10-minute workout, 10-minute reading session, or, you know, 10 minutes worth of working on your hobby, you know, it's better than nothing. And it just ensures the habit keeps compounding, doesn't stop, and you don't fall back into the bad habits. Because Charlie Munger said, who was Warren Buffett's vice chairman and kind of like right-hand man, but he's basically like a philosopher, but he was an investor and made billions of pounds as well. But he had so much wisdom in him and you should definitely study him. The Tao of Charlie Munger is another book I recommend, and another book on the Tribe of Outliers community's reading list. So we'll be doing an episode on that in the private community at some point. But he has this thing called inverse theory or inverse thinking. And it's like, huh, if I want the plane to take off, he had this example because he worked in the military in World War II, kind of for like weather and making sure the planes didn't crash. He said, to make sure the planes take off and land safely, I must think of every way it could not take off safely and it could not land safely. And he also said, a lot of wisdom and success in life is avoiding bad things and thinking of what not to do rather than what you should do. Because by knowing what you don't want to do gives you space to know what you want to do. And if you avoid what you don't want to do, and they're bad degenerate habits like scrolling on your phone for 16 hours a day, if I just think, huh, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to avoid scrolling on my phone for 16 hours a day, what else do I do? Huh, oh, there's this thing called the gym. Oh, there's these thing called books. It gives you space to realize better habits you could be doing. So avoiding the bad things is just as important as doing the good things. And most degenerates should just focus on avoiding those things. But like we said, we have to replace them with new habits. But obviously these vices, these bad things, these things that are infecting us as a society and numbing our brains are so accessible. They're so normalized. Everyone does it. And the default way we think and we've been taught to think and we've evolved to think is, oh, if everyone's doing it, then it's probably the best thing to do. Which is the complete opposite of what you should be doing in modern day society, because there isn't a lion outside. You're not in small hunter-gatherer tribes and you're not fighting in a war. You have abundance of food, of shelter, of education, of potential knowledge. Like, these books are £3 on worldofbooks.com. You know, you can get a secondhand book in great condition that can completely change your life. Charlie Munger says, there is $1 billion worth of advice in a $30 history book. I would say even a $3 history book. Genuinely. So the solution to replace and avoid these bad habits and to stop being a degenerate right fucking now is to replace the bad habits with the good habits. Instead of scrolling on your phone all day, go to the gym. Instead of watching porn or eating loads of junk food, read in the evening instead. Simple, but not easy. Warren Buffett says that so many times. The good things to do in life are simple, but it doesn't mean they're easy. So I have complete sympathy for you if you're struggling and you're really trying, but just keep going, don't stop. So that leads me to the non-degen day, the outliers daily routine. This is the kind of routine that the people in my paid private community, Tribe of Outliers, will be doing and are doing every single day. It's the way to actually become successful in the modern day. So let me just run for you an example of my kind of day that will show you what a non-degen life is. And if you adopt a few of these daily habits yourself, you'll actually see results and stop being such a degenerate and getting your attention sapped by all of this stuff and your energy sapped and your life flashing before your eyes. So wake up early and at the same time every single day. These might sound simple and like, oh yeah, I knew that already, but are you doing it? Are you waking up at the same time every day, or at least early every day? So just because it's simple and just because it sounds like stuff you've already heard, repetition is persuasive. The more you hear something, the more likely you're going to do it. You brainwash yourself from doing so. Wake up early and at the same time every day. It just completely helps your sleep pattern and gets you into a good start of the day, you know, not hitting snooze and not lying in until 12 p.m. is going to fix a lot of your problem. And then what I do after waking up early is getting into a shower straight away and making it cold straight away. So I have a cold shower straight away. Why? Again, it's kind of like, do I really want to be in the cold shower? No. So that gives me a stack of proof that I can do hard things, because cold showers aren't that enjoyable. But, you know, once you do it for a while, you end up enjoying it because you feel great afterwards. Cold exposure increases your dopamine, increases your endorphins, makes you more alert. So it takes you from that state of fatigue and waking up to suddenly you're alert. You're ready for action. So that makes the rest of the day much easier, because if you were just half asleep for half the day, you're not going to get as much done and you're going to be more likely to just sit in bed and scroll on your phone. So get in the cold shower straight away. Highly recommend it. Studies shown that cold exposure can spike dopamine by 250%. Think about that. High dopamine means you're more likely to strive after good things if you have the other habits in place, like going to the gym. If you have more dopamine in the morning, you're going to have a higher chance of wanting to do that. Going to feel more good, more energized. So yeah, cold shower, boom. Do that for 30 seconds to a minute. You know, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be in there for 20. You just want a quick energy boost. And then what I do straight after that, after like drying and like brushing my teeth and stuff, is I get changed and I do something very important. I put my shoes on. This may seem like so trivial. It sounds so trivial. I know it sounds really trivial and simple, but it makes such a difference. Think about it. We've gone to school since the age of 3, right? What do we do when we're in school? What do we do work versus when we're at home? I assume 9 out of 10 people have their shoes off. They're relaxed, right? When you're at school, we've been literally conditioned to wear our shoes. And by wearing our shoes, that habit is so embedded in our school lives and our work lives that we associate wearing shoes indoors with getting work done, with being at work and not relaxing. It's the opposite of relaxing. I discovered that, like I said, when I was on the grind in winter lockdown before I had a massive breakup with my first girlfriend. That was the one thing that helped me focus. I put my shoes on. I started revising. It made me less likely to go on my phone because I didn't go on my phone during school for 15 years. It made me do the work because I knew when I was in school, I had to do the work. So it just taps into that deep conditioning we've had since we were about 3 years old that equates shoes on indoors with a bit of work in front of you to doing the work rather than scrolling on your phone. It worked for me. Try it yourself. Again, don't beat any of this stuff down until you try it. It's stuff that's worked for me and it has probably had the biggest effects. Not just the shoe thing, but all the things I've discussed so far. And I feel a necessity to teach you guys and tell you guys about it because I was an absolute fucking degenerate and felt like shit for a lot of my teenage years. And I know what it's like. I know how it feels. And I went from feeling anxious every day, not being able to make eye contact with people when I walked down the street, to feeling amazing and content and fulfilled in my life every single day. So if you follow these things consistently and form these good habits, that might happen to you as well. So at this point, you've had the cold shower, you've woken up at the same time, you've woken up early and you've put your shoes on and your clothes on, right? You either fast, so you don't have any breakfast and you just have caffeine like a coffee, or you have a small breakfast with low carbohydrates, low sugars. I've mentioned diet but not specifics. I'm obviously not a fucking diet expert, but I listen to the experts and I read from the experts. And if you have processed carbohydrates at any time of the day, but especially in the morning, it's the worst in the morning because you've just woken up and you have the rest of the day to get on with stuff. If you have a lot of carbs, it creates a spike in your glucose levels, your blood sugar levels. And then what comes up must come down. A force in one direction causes a force in an equal and opposite force in the other direction. Newton's third law of motion, right? So laws of physics. It goes up, so it has to come down. And what that results in is an energy crash. But also when you have carbs, it just creates brain fog and it can create inflammation in your brain and can concentrate blood flow more to your digestive system, because digestion is a very energy taxing thing for the body to do. So if you have a bunch of like baked beans or fucking cereal or even like loads of bread and you're not an athlete and you're not running three times a day or like training twice a day or spending 5 hours working out, the carbs are just going to make your brain feel so foggy. You're going to feel so heavy. You're going to want to go back in bed and scroll on your phone, right? So if you're going to have breakfast, I recommend having, especially if you're work, like going to go to the gym, you know, high protein, kind of high fat, maybe some complex carbs, but again, probably wouldn't even have any breakfast. So, you know, tuna, some meat, maybe some eggs. Eggs are really good. Maybe a bit of veg like spinach. I have spinach every day and it's pretty low calorie and has so many good micronutrients in for you. So if you're going to have breakfast, like have a light one, avoid bread, avoid cereal, avoid just any sugary shit and chocolate and Nutella and stuff, because it's going to make you feel terrible for the rest of the day. And then after that, obviously you need to hydrate as well. Have a bit of salt. And after doing that, I'd either start working on your hobby or your, well, not hobby, your passion. You start working on your passion straight away. Or what I do is I go to the gym, like straight away. I do that and then I walk to the gym. Obviously I'm walking, so that helps with digestion. But even if you drove to the gym, you start the day with a hard thing. You're literally lifting metal off of you. You're resisting, you're like causing micro tears in your muscles, you're socializing, you're getting a bit of sunlight because you've gone outside, you're getting a bit of fresh air, you're pushing yourself to your limits. And then afterwards, you feel great. You feel energized. Navy SEAL and podcast and self-improvement kind of titan, Jocko Willink, he says, like, he works out like 4 a.m., but he says if he works out within 1 to 2 hours of waking up, he just feels more energized for the rest of the day. And I completely get that as well. I couldn't recommend working out early in the morning enough. I end up going to the gym most days at like 7 or 8 a.m., and then I'm in there for 1 to 2 hours. And it just makes you feel accomplished. You know, you've done something productive, and it makes you have more proof that you can do another productive thing straight after that. And you get the dopamine and you get the pump after the workout. So you see your progress, you feel good, you feel confident. It's just so, so good to do early in the morning. And studies have shown that morning workouts can actually improve your cognitive function later on in the day. So that's another benefit for going to the gym in the morning. And then I'll have a protein shake. Also, I'll have creatine monohydrate, a supplement that can increase gym performance, weight-related performance, in my coffee or my water. Gives you that extra boost when you're pushing heavy stuff. And then I'll have a protein shake afterwards, and I'll either have another light, high protein meal, so some more eggs maybe, some tuna if I didn't have any in the morning, maybe have some carbs like eggs on toast if I brought bread with me. But again, I've not been doing that for the last week or two, and I felt more energized. Like, I've stopped eating bread, basically. A lot of the time, I would end up napping after the gym, thinking, oh, maybe it's just because I'd not got enough sleep. Naps are super good, like 20 minute nap, 15 minute nap, then a cold shower, like nothing against that, right? But I've stopped eating carbohydrates, like these processed carbs, non-complex carbs that are low in fiber, early in the day or after the gym, and I've not needed to nap for the past 2 weeks from doing that. So, you know, if you're going to have lunch again, then you're not going to continue to fast, maybe have another coffee, and then have some high protein meal, even if it's like chicken or something, some steak or beef if you're going to go fancy. But yeah, it'll decrease the chances of you having a crash during the midday, because now you'll get on with the rest of your day. So my next thing I do is spend the rest of the day, if you can, you don't have work, like this is the weekend, or if you're at uni, or if you're on summer holiday and stuff, spend the next part of your day on another non-negotiable. So you've gone to the gym, would be something that energizes you and fulfills you. So we spoke about that passion. Again, if you don't have a passion, you literally have no idea where to start. If you haven't started going to the gym, you don't feel that's your main passion, then go on the link and join the Tribe of Outliers, and me and the tribe can help you figure out your passion for you on live calls and on the chat and stuff. And I can do it to you one-to-one right now, because I've literally just created it. So if you're watching this and the video's new, no one's joined, so you can get one-to-one access with me and I can help you find your passion and work on what energizes you, right? So for me, that's doing this. That's sitting in front of a camera, or I'm making a solo video guest podcast where I'm asking a guest who's an expert on something, a certain specific part about the world and myself that I want to understand, and they are talking to me about all these cool things. So that's what energizes me. That obviously also includes doing preparation for that, working on like the editing and scheduling, which again, I'll go into more detail in other videos, but also on the Tribe of Outliers, like my entire process for creating all this content. But also, like sending cold emails out so I can get guests on, booking guests, scheduling guests. But the thing is, this all sounds like pretty mundane, right? But I love it. Like, I absolutely love it. Like, right now, I was speaking to someone like after the gym or something, or in the sauna, and they're like, oh, what are you doing after this? And it was like the weekend, it was like Saturday night or like Saturday evening. I was like, oh, I'm just going to go back and like just edit the podcast and schedule it. And they were like, oh, what about anything fun? And I was like, I didn't get annoyed. I was just like, no, that is generally fun for me. I'd rather be doing that. Like, again, find something that energizes you, that gives you another route or another option instead of the degen path of going out and getting shit faced and spending £50 that you don't have and getting an SDI or, you know, ruining the rest of your Sunday, you know, working on something that you love. And it could be creating pottery and then maybe like making a video about that and posting on social media. Like, how can you combine something that you absolutely love with something that other people around the world could learn from? That's it. Like, that's when I'm talking about the non-negotiable, like finding a passion and stuff. It's not just finding a passion and doing the passion for your own sake. That's step number one. Like, just go to the gym, focus on yourself. Go out in nature with your camera, just focus on yourself. But once you do it for a couple months, a couple years, and you're just not stopping at doing it, then you can start sharing it or start sharing it straight away. Like, if you've learned something new from a book, why don't you create a video on that? You know, because you're passionate about it, because you've just read the book and you do it every day and you can't stop telling your mum about it. So why don't you create a video on it? Like, and then that gives you something to work on that's actually beneficial for your life, and it stops you from scrolling. It stops you from watching porn, from eating like shit, because you just want to have a clear headspace and you want to be fasted and you want to just like work on that passion that you can turn into your career eventually. Like, why would you not want to do that? Like, I don't understand it. Like, step one, obviously find the passion and stuff. But once you have the passion, why are you not teaching and telling other people about it and like showing people it and like whatever, you know? I just, that will give you so much to work on, but it won't feel like work. I promise you, I'm getting excited because it's the hack. This is the thing for me that's just been the most net gain since the gym. It's just been like finding something I'm passionate about and just working on that and treating it like going pro and like something professional, because, you know, the high achievers act like high achievers and act like outliers before they are outliers. So like, we have to just work on it. And even if you're not getting a lot of reinforcement, you know, people don't care about it yet because you haven't found your audience, or you haven't been posting enough yet, or you've only just began, or you don't know where to start. Joining the Tribe of Outliers, my community that I've just set up, we can help you figure that out, and also prompt you for like cool topics, because we're basically gonna discuss topics that I've spoken about on the podcast with guests, and discuss things that the tribe have been learning in their own time. Like, oh, hey, I'm reading The Prince by Machiavelli. This is what Hitler and Stalin, I think, learned and help them become dictators. How fucking crazy is that? How dark is that? But also in The Prince, there's tips on how to increase your status and become more successful in life, not in such a dark and twisted way. So like, let's discuss that. Like, that's what we're going to do in the Tribe of Outliers. So if you're interested in finding a passion and creating content on it and finding like-minded friends that are into self-improvement and understanding the world as much as you are, and getting access to me personally every single week, just join it. Like, it's going to be such a benefit for your life. Woohoo! You know, it should be things that actually energize you, that actually fulfill you. You know, me and my buddy last year, towards the end of last year, when I was going through my I hadn't started the podcast, I'd stopped doing photography as much, stopped posting on social media, we decided to try and start this like drop shipping business. Do not start drop shipping. And like, it just didn't end up working. We spent like a month or two on it, because it just wasn't my thing. I wasn't passionate about it. We weren't really that into it. So make sure that the non-negotiable passion work project that you're doing is something that you actually care about, something that feels like play to you, but looks like work to others, right? And then start teaching people about it, start sharing it. Because what does that do? If you're spending 4 hours a day doing that, 6 hours a day doing that, every single day, how much time are you going to have to hang out with your degen friends? Or how much time are you going to have to scroll on social media if you're going to the gym and reading as well, and going to the sauna and meditating and journaling? But like, even if it's just that one thing or two things, like if you're going to the gym and you're doing your passion project now and you start reading on the side as well, how much time do you actually have to do the other things that you used to be distracted by and that used to make you a degenerate? Like, how much time do you have for porn? Like, I'm not going to watch porn. I'm focusing on that one thing, you know? I'm focusing on the podcast. I'm focusing on meeting a new girl, or I'm focusing on the new girlfriend I have, or I'm focusing on maintaining my like genuine relationships, and I do not have time to go out on the weekend and drink and do drugs. And in fact, I'm getting a lot of positive reinforcement from doing this new passion of mine. The people that I used to get shit-faced with and do drugs with, they don't have that. They just want to keep going out. In fact, they keep criticizing me about it. This hasn't happened for me, luckily, but it could happen if you were the wrong group of people. I don't want to hang out with them anymore. That gives me more time to meet new people in the gym, in the sauna, or connect with new people in an online community, like the Tribe of Outliers. You know, it frees up so much, and it gives you so much energy, and also gives you a massive realization that normal life and the life we've been given or told to live isn't rewarding. And the more you kind of delve into that and work on your passion, and you might be in the lonely chapter right now, the more rewards you'll get from it and the more success you'll get and the less of a degenerate you will actually be. So we've gone to the gym, woken up early, not eating a lot of carbs, and now it's the evening time. And this is where it gets dangerous. If you're a recovering degenerate, right, this is where it gets dangerous, because apparently willpower is a finite resource in our brain. I don't know how true that is, but maybe you can obviously increase your willpower, because that's what doing things like going to the gym and reading does. So I don't know if it's because my willpower is super high, but apparently it's a finite tool, especially when you're a recovering degen and you've only just started improving yourself and being more curious about the world and want to live a better life. You know, you've only just started these habits, so they're not as reinforced. You've had that like decade of scrolling on your phone and eating like shit before. So like that's still going to be more powerful and it could override it. And it's most likely to happen in the evening. Like if you're addicted to something, you're going to be more likely to do it in the evening when you've achieved so much in the day. Like I've done so much. Let me just like smoke as a reward. Let me just like watch that degen video as a reward. Let me just like drink and go out as a reward for that. And that may seem good in the short term, but if you do that in the long term, you're still a degenerate and you'll end up stopping the good habits because you can't really do both. If you really want to be an outlier, you cannot do both degenerate and regenerate habits and outlier habits. So you're sat there and it's the evening, you've maybe cooked some dinner, you've had some steak or meat and some fiber and some, you know, healthy foods, and then you've got 3 or 4 hours and it's Saturday night and your degenerate friends ask you to go out and get shit-faced until 6 a.m. If they asked you when you were in the gym or when you were doing your passion project, how likely do you think you would have been to say yes versus how likely would you be to say yes now? It's the evening time, you've done all those things. You're way more likely to say yes and fall back into a degenerate habit in the evening. There's less distraction. You've ticked off a lot of the non-negotiables we've been discussing. And you might feel there's not much to do in the evening. How do we make sure you don't fall back into the trap? How do you make sure that evenings are still a sacred time where you don't scroll for 4 hours? Here are a few tips. If you can afford it right now, going to the sauna is a very good option, especially if you don't have any friends that are into this as much as you are right now, because you haven't joined the Tribe of Outliers or you haven't got people as into this stuff as you are, or you don't have a good girlfriend that you can chill with. But then I still go to the sauna with my girlfriend, and I still would happily go to the sauna with like-minded, curious outlier friends. And I've met people from the sauna who are like that. So if you can afford it and you have a sauna membership, go to the sauna. You know, increases your blood flow. If you worked out in the morning, which you would have done, hopefully, if you're following this video, it increases the blood flow to your muscles, helps you recover quicker. If there's a steam room as well, the place that I go to is a steam room, that improves your respiratory system. It clears out a lot of shit. Also, when you go to you sweat a lot. So you sweat out a lot of toxins. That's one of the ways we repel our toxins. I've had Dr. Anne Chappell and Dr. Ailey Cohen, both like really good, famous toxicologists. I think it was Dr. Anne, she said how sweating can get rid of a lot of things, and also sweating can get rid of microplastics that you just have been consuming because they're everywhere nowadays. So sweat it out in the sauna also means you can socialize, and it normally you're in there for like maybe half an hour, an hour, and then you come back and have dinner if you haven't already, and oh, it's 8, 9, 10 p.m. I've only got like an hour or two left of the day before I have to wake up at 6 a.m. and go out to the gym. You know, oh, I've just gone to the sauna and socialized. I don't really feel like going out now. I've socialized and I've met these cool people that are also into similar things as I am, because if they weren't, they'd be in Wetherspoons right now drinking beer. So, you know, and you feel really like relaxed and light and kind of like tired, but in a nice way, usually after the sauna. So you're going to be like way less motivated to, you know, go out and get shit faced. That's a very good tactic. If you can't afford a sauna or you don't have one near you and stuff, I highly recommend like saving up to be able to go to one. But if you don't have one available, go on a run or start reading early in the day, have dinner, then just like go back and read, or like meditate for 20 minutes, then read for an hour or two, and then like journal for half an hour. Like read, meditate, journal. I don't really journal a lot. I should do it more, and I have been doing it the last few days. I used to journal a lot more at the start of my like journey, and same with meditation. But like sometimes in the sauna you can meditate when it's quiet, and it's quite meditating there when you're just in there by yourself, or you're in the steam room, so you can kind of two in one it if you can go to the sauna. But if not, try out meditation. It helps you clear your mind a lot, especially if you've had a fun but intense day. And then read, or like journal, and then like get in bed and then read for like, I don't know, 20 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, depends how much time you have left in the day. But what I'm basically saying is, if you do those things, you're not going to be able to go out as well. You're not going to be scrolling on your phone. You're not going to be therefore like going on TikTok and watching porn. You're not going to be eating a lot of junk food because you've already had that filling, high protein, like high fat meal. I mean, it could be, to be fair, you could have a high carb meal then, like pasta or something, if you really want to and you really love your carbs. At the end of the day, it's not as bad. But yeah, you know, just way less chance of you slipping back into doom scrolling and, you know, not socializing if you kind of read, meditate, journal. Because you can do that for like 3 hours if you really wanted to. But even doing it an hour before bed is going to reduce the chance of you staying up all night with your blue, bright screen light on and keeping you up until 2 a.m. So that's what I recommend to avoid generosity. It's, as you can tell, I haven't really spoken loads about like the specifics of being a degenerate, because you know you are one already if you're watching this video, or you know you are like half degenerate, right? I've tried to focus on the main things that have worked for me, that have helped me avoid becoming a degenerate and helped me replace degenerate habits with good habits. So obviously, if you're starting from scratch, then just go back to the start of this video and kind of take notes on the things that you should do at the beginning, like go to the gym or try and find your passion, or just try and sleep earlier, and then maybe read, and then maybe start sharing and teaching your passion to other people. And then maybe start going to the sauna if you make a bit of money from that, or you can afford it. But if you want more of an in-depth and more specific, personalized kind of advice on how to not be a degenerate anymore, and you want to meet a group of like-minded individuals who are also trying to be outliers or are outliers and ahead of their journey in ahead in their journey of understanding the world around them and improving themselves. And you want to get podcast episodes like this and like my guest episodes 24 hours before anyone else, and also know what new guests are coming on the show before anyone else, and joining online calls and like actually becoming friends with people who are curious about the world and people who are into self-growth and are like me and are like you, if you're watching this, then click the first link in the bio to join my tribe of outliers, my private paid community, to really help you grow, deepen your knowledge and understanding of the world, and ultimately improve yourself and stay consistent, because you'll now have accountability buddies who are like-minded with you and are part of the community, and be able to join live calls with me, and I can help you find your passion or help you start a podcast yourself or help you stay consistent with this and avoid complacency, and hopefully meet all of you, and we'll end up meeting each other all in person, hopefully at meetups. But yeah, like I said, if this video has just come out, you will probably be one of the first people to have joined the tribe of outliers. Don't worry, the more I post it, the more people are going to join. But the benefit of joining early is, one, it's cheaper, because I'm going to increase the price every time someone joins, because I want it to be a tiny, tight-knit community of true outliers. We don't want like John, who's like watched half a podcast episode and then it's like, oh yeah, I want to join. No, we want people that really take notes and implement and learn from the show and from other books and from other people who are also, you know, are trying to help you improve your lives. And we want people that are fully dedicated to becoming outliers. It's not tribe of half degenerates. It's called tribe of outliers for a reason. We only want the top 0.1% of people. And if you think to yourself, oh, I don't know if I'm at that stage yet, but I really feel like I could become that next level, this is exactly for you. And if you're thinking, oh, I'm already at that level, but yeah, I kind of want to get episodes early so I can be ahead of the crowd and take notes and learn the things from the show and from me before anyone else. I want to get access to Jacob, and I also don't have many friends that are like-minded, and I'm kind of in the lonely chapter right now, and I feel like if I got some friends who are into similar stuff about the world and about my about self-improvement as much as me, then that's going to help me elevate and become a true outlier and more of a success than I already am right now. So if you're just starting out, there's so many benefits for you that I've just said, and also if you're far on your kind of self-discovery, self-growth journey, and you love the show and you love learning new topics, and you're an avid listener and just a curious mind, then that is also for you as well. So first link in the description, become an outlier today, get personalized and online courses and attention from me, from the rest of the tribe, meet your group of curious, like-minded people who want to understand the world and themselves better, and become an outlier today. Thank you very much.